Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, why call now, 800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The Basic Gospel is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive. That is the great story.
That is a great story.
The greatest story that's ever been told. And so the fact that he is alive today, he saves us today. And when he does, he equips us with a set of armor. And that armor's to protect us as we live in this world of darkness. We are not of the world, but we certainly live in the world. And this world is controlled by the spiritual dark forces of darkness. It is controlled by a philosophy that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. And while we're in this world, we're going to be bombarded with that philosophy at every single turn. So we need protection. Well, this armor of God protects us. Yesterday, we talked about the belt of truth. And I think it's significant that Paul starts his description of the armor right there, because truth is what sets us free. Truth is what gives us a stand as far as the attacks of Satan are concerned. And then the next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate guards the heart, and certainly our hearts need to be protected. And it's protected by the fact that we have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. We have been declared to be righteous through faith in him. And that righteousness is proof that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. If there was a sin that had not been forgiven, that was still out there to be judged, God could have never made the declaration of us being righteous. But the fact that he said, "You're righteous in Jesus," is proof that our sins have been taken away once and for all. Why is that significant? Because we have an accuser that's going to take all of those things that we do that are opposed to the faith and opposed to the love of God, and he's going to try to leverage those in any way possible to make us feel guilty, to make us feel bad about ourselves, to cause us to doubt our salvation, to cause us to fear God's punishment. That's what Satan is trying to do. Yeah. We need a breastplate, and thank goodness we have one called the breastplate of righteousness that protects us from all of those accusations.
That's Basic Gospel, everybody, and this, of course, is Basic Gospel. We appreciate the fact you've joined us on this particular edition. We have several calls on the line, but still a couple of lines open, 1-800-677-9377. And if you dial now, you'll get through. We'd love to hear from you on this edition, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Paul, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Paul.
Hi. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Have a good day. God bless. I thank you for taking my call. I have two questions, if I'm permitted. The first question that I have is Revelation. It describes God's tongue as a double-edged sword. And I would like to know the significance behind, you know, a double-edged sword, as I know it can cut two ways, or it has two different, meanings, or is it double judgment that we are going to face? What's the meaning behind its double-edged sword?
Paul, great question, and that's an incredible picture that John paints, isn't
yeah, it?
Yeah,
it sure is.
The fact that there's this sharp, double-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Richard, how do you explain that? Is that judgment on one end and life on another, or how do you explain the two-edged sword?
I look at it primarily as a weapon. Jesus speaks, and it is. And when he speaks life to us, it's a creative act. When he speaks as a double-edged sword to the lost, and you see this later on in Revelation when Jesus comes back on the white horse, and he speaks, and the battle is won. There really is no battle. There's this whole army that shows up and is going to try and do things, and he simply speaks. That is that double-edged sword of judgment, and I think it's intended to mean that there's just nothing that could stand up against it. Back in Hebrews, of course, the Word of God is described as a double-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. And again, that's a positive statement there. That's that statement of the Word of God, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which in many cases is Jesus himself, brings life to us and speaks life to us. If we will accept it, we are recreated. If we won't accept it, that same word is destructive.
Okay.
That makes sense to you, Paul?
Yes. Now, the way you described it, speak life, and then if you don't listen, if you're not obedient or you don't take heed, then it could be used in another direction. Yes.
Okay.
Now, the other question I have real quick is that you spoke earlier concerning the rich man, poor man situation. Now, my question on this is, when the rich man looks up and saw Abraham and asked Lazarus to dip his hand in the water, now, that there, we look at that as a place of, like a holding place where when you die, you're there for until judgment. Now, in our new covenant, when now Jesus is on the scene, is there still a place where we say that we no longer have to be in a holding place, that we go out of the body directly to Christ, or is there still Catholic refer to as purgatory?
Purgatory. And there's really no biblical support for the concept of a purgatory. There was this holding place, paradise is how the Bible describes it. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But once Jesus was raised back to life, and once he ascended into heaven and took up his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, when we die, we are immediately absent with the Lord and present with him. As Paul says, even now we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So when we die, that just becomes a reality as far as our souls and spirits are concerned, and we will await for the resurrection of the body. So where we go is into his presence. You know, we talk about heaven, we're going to go to heaven, and we think of it as a great place. But the message of the Bible is you go to be with Jesus, and that's better, because wherever he is, that's going to be a pretty good place.
So is that a place that he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you? So when you die, you're going to be in that place that he's preparing for you until judgment time?
Well, Paul, not sure on all the details of that. I mean, it could be a place that he's preparing called the New Jerusalem, which becomes the ultimate dwelling place for us and for him. We see that in Revelation as it's coming down from heaven. It's when, you know, heaven and earth become one, basically, you know, as far as that knitting together of those two. But, you know, all the detail of that, we'll find out when it all happens.
I guess we will. Okay. Gentlemen, okay. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Hey,
thank you
too, Paul.
The information. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to June listening to us on the internet right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, June.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm going to ask if I can have two questions, too. But my first one is, could you help me understanding with God's getting into God's rest that's mentioned in Hebrews? What exactly does that mean?
Well, June, rest is I think, another description of what it means to trust in Christ's finished work that he accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. So your sins, June, were all placed upon Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. He died. He offered himself as the once and for all final sacrifice for sin. God the Father accepted his blood as the once-for-all final sacrifice for sin. When you receive him by faith, you receive forgiveness. So there's no more, you know, I need to do this, this, and this every time I sin. You need to rest in the fact that you're already forgiven. And that's what the concept is all about. That's the destination. God wants to take every single one of us to that place of rest in Jesus Christ. And as the writer of Hebrews says, it's a place where we cease our works just as he ceased from his works. So you and I, we spent so much time, June, trying to get God to love us, trying to get God to accept us, trying to get God to forgive us. We went to church hoping that that was going to make all things better. We promised to pray more. We promised to give more. We promised to do more. And boy, all of those efforts just frustrated us and disappointed us and led to more failures. And finally, we recognize that Jesus did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And when we recognize that, we rested. We put all of those futile efforts aside and rested in what Christ did for us once and for all. That's called the Sabbath rest. And that's available for all believers. And it's as simple as trusting in Christ's finished work on the cross.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes perfect sense to me. And my second question, there was a lady that called in yesterday about, you know, I accepted Christ into my life, and then sometimes I just have those thoughts that come in. And I was trying to follow you yesterday about going back to the truth. When that comes in, is that what you do? You just go back to what Christ says about us, that it's
absolutely
Satan attacking us?
Absolutely. And sometimes it's not Satan. Sometimes we come up with those thoughts all by ourselves.
Yeah.
But truth is always the corrective cure. It anchors us back to Christ's finished work for us. As if you start to feel like, oh, wait a minute, I'm just this mess, and I wonder if God loves me, then you're back on that religious treadmill trying to do something to get him to like you again. And that's exactly what Satan wants.
Yeah, in fact, your two questions are very closely related. If you are resting in Christ and one of those accusations comes from whatever source, if you try to respond to the accusation by saying, well, that's not true, see, look what I've done, you've just confirmed the accusation and you lose the rest. You haven't lost salvation, you're just not resting. But if you rest in the truth of what Jesus has done, then that accusation just falls on the ground and is nothing.
Okay. So when you accept him into your life with all of your heart, mind, and soul, then you're there.
You're there.
Yeah.
I mean, God has saved you. He's declared you to be a child of God. You're perfect in his sight. And as you grow in that relationship with Christ, you're just going to learn more about what he's already accomplished for you.
Okay.
That makes sense, doesn't it? And that makes
it
exciting.
You
get to find out what it really means to be a child of God and just the privileges you have because you know Jesus.
Right.
Well, let me do this, June. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of a CD series that we did called The Basic Gospel Journey. It really talks about this new covenant that we live in and entering God's rest. I think you will really enjoy it. And if you have more questions, we certainly encourage you to call back, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
And we're right here in Dallas as well. Come see us sometime.
I do. I come to y'all.
Excellent.
To your church, yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, June. Well, let's go down to Houston and talk with Ronald. Hi, Ronald.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm blessed. Just give God glory for everything he's done for me. Could you explain Revelation 2, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19?
Okay, it's a pretty stern warning. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him is share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So it's a warning, and it's a stern warning. It's a harsh warning for those who are not in Christ who read those words. It should scare them and bring them to a point of saying, hey, I need to really see whether I'm saved or not. And so it's not a warning to believers that they can lose salvation. It's simply a warning to those who aren't saved not to add, because if they do add to the words of this prophecy or take away from the words of this prophecy, they've sealed their fate. And that's basically what this passage is saying.
I was looking at 19. It says any man. So that goes for everybody. That's what 19 says. If any man shall take away, that's what we have to go by the words that are written. You know, so and a lot of people, and that's what it's saying right here, that God should take away His part out of the book of life.
Well, He doesn't say He's going to take us out of the book of life. Read the passage. He says He's going to take away from him his share in the tree of life. That's significantly different. But if you go through Revelation and get the context, you recognize that those who've been sealed, marked by God, are His forever. And so they're not going to add to the words, or they're not going to take away from the words. God has promised that to be true. So anyone that does that is going to be someone who does not know Jesus.
Right. And why I said that, because I'm not going to hold y'all long, but I said that because, a lot of people, they talk about everything else besides, they don't talk about the judgment of God, and they don't talk about, that God is, he's a holy God,
Well, if you talk about the cross of Christ, Ronald, you're talking about God's judgment. That was a pretty severe judgment. So if you're talking about the basic gospel message, you're talking about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you're talking about God's judgment upon sin, the severity of it that brought death to His only Son, but you're also talking about grace that emerges from that in resurrection. And that's what we experience through faith in Jesus.
Right.
Die in Him, we're buried in Him, we're raised in Him to walk in the newness of life. And if we will get that story right and understand exactly what Christ has accomplished and what this grace means, that's going to answer all of our questions about this Christian life we're to live. Well, Ronald, we certainly appreciate your call today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to Smithville, Texas, and talk with Tommy, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, you said it real well to June and Ronald. It's exactly what I believe. I understand salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. And I did a little experiment. My problem is I got a girl in the Philippines, and she's been influenced by Pentecostal groups. That's where she kind of grew up in it. She left Catholicism and then got into Pentecostalism, and she's totally befuddled, she really is. And I'm trying to show her scripture, and I showed her, I'm trying to make it simple. And she challenged me. She said, well, go to all the Pentecostal pastors in your area of Texas, Central Texas, and call each one of them, ask them if they're Christians or not. And I called 14 of them in the phone book. I said, sir, if you died right now, where'd you spend eternity? And every one of them said, well, I was hit by the Holy Ghost in 1954, and I spoke in tongues, and that's how I know I'm saved, and now I don't sin anymore. And the other one said, I could go right down the line. The other guy said, well, I made disciples of all men, and I got baptized. And you don't hear a thing about the cross, about the blood. These guys knew nothing about salvation. And I got back to her, and she said, well, if you believe in Jesus and keep the commandments, you'll go to heaven, hopefully.
Hopefully,
that's not it.
Hopeful salvation.
I said, just follow Paul. I said, Paul says in Romans 2:16 that we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ according to His gospel. And they follow, the Pentecostals follow Peter in the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is Jewish, and they were under the law. We're under grace today. And if somebody...
Well, they actually don't even follow Peter, because Peter...
They say they do. Yeah. They say they do.
I mean, Peter was like, you know, hey, if you read in Acts 15, he said, it's they're saved exactly the same way we are, by grace. It's not of ourselves. Well, so... Peter was all over that, as far as the grace of God was concerned. But, you know, anytime you add works, and that's where the bulk of Christianity is today.
I know it.
And it's a sad thing. We go to extremes. We go to the extreme in a legalistic way. We go to the extreme in a flesh way. You know, God's grace just allows me to do anything I want. So you've got these two extremes, and God is saying, just read the word. Just stick to this simple, powerful, life-changing message of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. If you will recognize that you've died in Christ, that you've been buried in Christ, that you've been raised in Christ to walk in the newness of life, this Christian life will come together for you. I guarantee it.
It's easy, and people stumble over it. But hey, do me a favor, and when you get a chance after the program, go to your computer and Google Charles F. Parham, P-A-R-H-A-M. Can you write that down? Like a dinner ham, Parham?
We got it. Okay.
And he's called the father of the Pentecostal Holiness Movement, and I was an evangelist for them for 6 years. And I was so confused by them and so followed up. I was in those churches all over the world, from Vietnam, the Philippines, all over the United States. And they weren't Vietnamese Pentecostals. It was an American Pentecostal church that tried to establish itself, but the Vietnamese didn't care for it too much. They're more Buddhist. And it just didn't pan out. But in the Philippines, it's going wild, you know, in Africa, South America, and it's all legalism. It's all works, and a little bit of faith.
It really is. Well, Tommy, I'm grateful that this gospel message just penetrated through all that confusion and brought you to a point of clarity where you saw Jesus, you encountered Jesus in such a powerful way and are now walking in the grace of God. So God bless you for that.
You too, brother.
Hey, thanks for your call. Great to hear from you.
Thanks.
Well, let's spend a few minutes. We only have a few minutes and talk about January and our financial need. And we're really looking forward to a fantastic 2014. And I think just the nature of the radio broadcast in the last 2 weeks, we've probably had more calls in the last 2 weeks than, you know, just the number, 8 or 9 every single day. And we're just blessed by that. Right. And it shows that there's a real hunger out there for the Word of God and for this simple, basic gospel message. And this message needs to be supported. And so we're asking you to help us have this banner to 2014 by making a gift today to support Basic Gospel. A gift of any amount, $20, $50, $100, will set the stage for us and will really enable us to take advantage of all kinds of ministry opportunities. So join the team today. We'd love to have you.
As a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. As Bob said, we are indeed a listener-supported ministry dependent upon those of you who derive benefit from this broadcast to keep us on the air by your prayers and your financial support. So step up with us today if you can. Go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage, or call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. That number is good through about 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time today and every business day. Again, 1-800-727-2828. And just let our operator know that you'd like to make a gift to support Basic Gospel and request your copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape. Also, stay up to date with late news about the ministry's upcoming conferences and other events, and information about new resources to aid your understanding of the Christian life. You can join our email simply by clicking subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. You'll find that link in the upper menu, subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear on this broadcast each day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about the broadcast. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the very same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.